Okay. This is Amy Kitchener with Lillian Wong at her home in Alhambra on September 22nd, 1993. Mrs. Wong, when and where were you born?
When?
Uh-huh.
I was born March 31st, 1911.
And where was that?
In Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. And who were your parents and where were they from?
My father came from China. He was an herbalist, and he came to Los Angeles to set up an office where he saw Caucasian patients and prescribed herbs for them. My mother was born in Ventura, and they were married in Los Angeles in 1910.
And where was your father's business located?
It was located on Hill Street, near 9th, between 9th and 10th, in downtown Los Angeles. And that's where I was born.
At the family home? You also lived there?
Yes. It was an old Victorian house. The office was downstairs, and we lived upstairs.
Did he also serve the Chinese-American community?
My father?
Yeah, in his business.
Yes. It was located right in the downtown, and so Americans would go to him for herbs.
Would it be their first exposure to Chinese medicine, or... this is interesting, intriguing to me, of how that worked.
I think most of them were. They were recommended by a friend who worked on the Southern Pacific Railway. He was a conductor, and he would see sick people coming to California for their health from the cold climate of the East and hoping to get well. And he would recommend Chinese herbs to them, because he himself was cured. He had a big tumor, and my father cured him of that. And so for every kind of illness, he himself would come to my father. And so he recommended lots and lots of people in that way.
That's very interesting. What do you remember? Do you remember some of the remedies or the different kinds of treatments that your father would do?
Well, we took Chinese medicine up until the time I left home for a cold, sore throat, for the flu. And many of these people had digestive ailments. So Chinese herbs work very slowly. They sort of clean up your whole body. And so it was very successful for people with digestive ailments. And for some had rheumatism too. And then some had ulcers, sores, and my father made ointments for sores and for itching. A lot of Japanese children had a rash on their cheeks that was itchy and very irritating, and he had a formula for that kind of illness. And so a lot of Japanese babies came and were healed by him.
How did he learn his profession?
He learned this in China, in Canton. He studied under a doctor, and then he had a lot of medical books that he read in his spare time.
Oh, where did he get his supplies and his herbs?
His what?
All of the herbs that he used.
They were sent from China. Some he got through an herb store in Chinatown, but he could also order directly from China.
Did he also do acupuncture?
No.
Just the prescription of herbs.
He just felt the person's pulse. Uh-huh. Then he would know what illness that person had. and then he would prescribe accordingly.
Mm-hmm. And your mother? Who was your mother?
My mother sometimes translated for him because he didn't know too much English. And so my mother was an interpreter. And she also helped him weigh the herbs, an ounce of this or a half ounce of that. And she helped him weigh the medicine. He had a room that was full of drawers with different kinds of herbs. And he would take them and combine them and cook the herbs into a tea and let the patients drink it.
Did you find when you were growing up that the remedies helped you?
Yes, even for a cold or for a fever, they were very helpful.
And your mother, you said she was born here in the United States?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So her first language was English?
She spoke English and Chinese.
And do you remember your grandparents?
No, I only saw my grandfather for a few years, and then he passed away. And my maternal grandmother passed away when my mother was about 6 years old. And my father's parents were in China, and they had died at an early age. So I never saw them.
And on your mother's side of the family, who was the first person to come to the United States?
My grandparents. They came first to San Francisco and then to Ventura.
And what did they do there?
My grandfather was a cook. He would go with the harvesters. When they harvested wheat, they would bring him along and he would cook for them away from Ventura. And when the wheat harvest was over, or whatever harvest was over, he would come back to Ventura. And he could do woodwork. He was a carpenter besides. So he built chairs and tables and helped people build houses.
What year do you think it was about that your maternal grandparents came to the United States?
I have no idea. My mother was born in 1888, and her eldest sister was born 10 years before that, 1878. So they came to America in the 1870s.
And do you know the reasons why they decided to come?
I think to make a better living.
What about for your father?
Huh? For your father? Yes, he had relatives here. And he wanted to make a living by being a doctor.
Had he heard that it would be a good business to bring Chinese medicine to the United States?
I think so, because there was a Chinese community here, and many believed in Chinese medicine more than in Western medicine. So he had quite a clientele in Chinatown. He would go there in the evenings, and he had an office there. But in the daytime, they were the Americans who came to him for medicine.
And where was his office in Chinatown?
I'm not sure. Maybe it's Marchesault Street. My aunt lived on Apa Plaza. I think the other street was Marchesault. It was an office that he went to in the evenings.
Do you have any brothers or sisters?
Yes. I have three stepbrothers who were born in China. My father's first wife died in China. Then he married my mother in 1910 in Los Angeles. And I'm the oldest of this marriage. I have a younger brother and two sisters.
And were they all born here in Los Angeles?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What are some of your first memories of Los Angeles?
I remember the sky was blue all the time. And there were streetcars. We lived on a hill, so there were streetcars going down the street. And we went everywhere by streetcar. No buses then. And then there were horse carriages, too. It carried merchandise.
Where would you go when you took the streetcar? Where were some of the places?
We went to the park. My father used to take us to the park, to MacArthur Park was the closest by streetcar, and later to Exposition Park, and sometimes to Lincoln Park.
And what would you do on these outings? Would your mother go too?
We'd all go. We'd bring our younger sister in the buggy, and we would play in the grass on the lawn, and my father would give us money to buy ice cream cone or popcorn.
And what other kinds of things did you do for leisure?
We also went to the museum at Exposition Park. My father had a farm in the valley, and my stepbrother managed that. And so every weekend we would go there.
Oh, which valley?
In the valley.
The San Fernando Valley?
The first farm was in Studio City. And the other farm was in Sepulveda.
And what was he growing?
Asparagus. In both places. It was asparagus. And then they had fruit trees and grew corn, and we would go there on a weekend.
Would you do some of the work, or what would your activities be?
No, we just go there and walk around and maybe pick fruit.
And what were some of the important experiences you remember when you were growing up?
I just remember the end of World War I. People were selling extra papers. I heard their voices. We were living on Hill near 9th End. And then the soldiers coming home. There were a lot of parades in those days. Some went by on Hill Street, so we could watch the parade on Hill Street. And then we went to Lincoln Park to see the fireworks on July 4th. We went to the beach.
Which beach would you go to?
Venice and Ocean Park. Sometimes Long Beach. We didn't have a car, but friends would take us. We'd go in their car on a hot summer day. In the evenings, we would walk on the pier, watch people fish, buy ice cream cones and saltwater toffee.
And where did you go to school?
Went to elementary school on Grand Avenue near 8th Street, downtown. Then we moved from there to 14th Place, which is a block beyond Pico, between Main and Broadway. Then we transferred to 16th Street School, where the trade school now is. We finished elementary school and then went on to Sentus Junior High, which is the location of the convention center now. We went 3 years to Sentus Junior High. Then I went to LA High for 3 years. Then I went to USC for 4 years.
So when the elementary school, was it on Grand?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of experiences do you remember? Who were the students there, and what was that like?
I think I was the only Chinese. And when, after school, my mother would take me to school, and she'd come and pick me up and walk home with me. And I remember when she was a little late in coming, like, a little Japanese boy would come around and tease me and maybe try to trip me.
What was that like, being the only Chinese American in the school?
We didn't socialize too much with the other students, I think. And then there was prejudice, and the children would recite things about Chinese, you know, say, oh, they'd call us chink, you know, chink chink Chinaman sitting on a rail. Along came a railroad and chopped off his tail. And they'd yell things like that at us. And then they would say, Chinese eat mice. and say different things about us. And I didn't have any close friends.
How did you respond?
Didn't say anything, but I did my best to get good grades. So just buried myself into the studies and did all the assignments and got good grades.
What did your parents say? Would you tell them about the things that were happening at school and those, you know, the taunts and things the kids were saying to you?
What my parents would say?
Yeah.
Well, they'd say, don't get into any trouble with the other children. Don't get into any fights or don't argue. Just don't say anything.
So that was when you were at the Grand Avenue School? Uh-huh. And then you went to...
Same at Central Junior High.
The same kind of experience?
And at LA High, I was the only Chinese girl. And in those days, LA High was pretty snobbish. It was on the west side, no blacks, hardly. And it was supposed to be a very, it was in a good neighborhood. And I had very few friends then, except one girl. She wanted to help me with her homework. She wanted me to help her with the homework, and so she socialized with me. But I remember going to the bleachers for some event. No one walked with me. And I remember asking a girl, may I walk with you to the bleachers? It was, people were so isolated. They isolated themselves and didn't socialize much with the Chinese. There were a few Japanese. But I joined the World Friendship Club. And there were different nationalities there.
Hi.
There cooler were, here.
Yeah, quieter.
There were...
Oh, you were telling me about the Friendship Club, the International Friendship Club?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And what was that club? Hmm? What did that club do?
We studied about different nationalities and tried to learn about the culture of other countries. And it consisted of people from various nationalities.
Was that a school club? At LA High?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Uh-huh. So did you find satisfaction in the
yes,
club?
Yes, uh-huh. I enjoyed that. And I enjoyed listening to debates. After school, there would be oratorical contests, and I would listen to those. And then I like to study Spanish very much. And so we... I wrote in Spanish a column in Spanish. So something about being a cat or something, and regularly I would have a column. And so in the end, I got a medal for my excellence in Spanish when I graduated. And I also belonged to the scholarship. I had all A's and B's, and straight A's the last three semesters of high school, and so I belonged to that club.
Was there, where were most of the Chinese Americans in LA? Where were they? Was there a community that was centered in a particular area of town?
Was there what?
Were the Chinese Americans, did they live in a certain area of town?
Some in Chinatown, but they were scattered. Not like now, not like Monterey Park or Alhambra. In those days there were fewer families, and they just lived scattered in the neighborhoods of Caucasians.
Were there particular organizations where people joined, that where the community came together?
Yes. Of course, the men had their organizations according to their last names. If you had a certain last name, you belonged to a certain organization.
The Benevolent yes. Society?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Was your father...
Yes.
In one of those?
Uh-huh.
Which is his, which was his, which is his his society, which one is he in?
It's called the Four Brothers. They believed that long time ago in Chinese history, there were four people of four surnames who were brothers, who were real, like a fraternity. And so if you had a surname of any of these four, you could join. And so they had an office, and then they had benefits and different programs. And the...
Was it only for men?
Yeah, only for men.
But they would have activities where families could come also?
Sometimes they had... they sponsored Chinese opera. The families would go to hear the opera. I think they had women's clubs too. I think my mother, later on there, she belonged to a Chinese women's club. And then they had Chinese American boys' club.
Did your brother, was your brother?
They were, not my brother, but a citizens club.
Oh, the Chinese American Citizens League?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Was your family involved in that?
No. My brother went to China when he was 18, so he didn't have a chance to join.
Oh, and what about, was there a church that you went to? When you were growing?
Yes, I went to the Congregational Church. Friends would take me there.
Where was that?
In the beginning, the Chinese Congregational Church was in Chinatown. And then it had services in the big Congregational Church, either on Flower or Hope Street or somewhere there. And then they built their own church on San Pedro Street. 9th, on 9th Street near San Pedro. So there were three denominations, Methodist, Presbyterians, and Congregationalists. All three had chapels or missions in Chinatown. And they taught, there were English classes for newcomers. And they had women's societies, and they had Sunday school and so on.
What do you remember about your particular church?
Huh?
What do you remember about the Congregational Church?
Oh, well, we kids went there for Sunday school. And then during the service for the adults, a Chinese preacher would preach. And then they had Sunday school picnics and other activities.
Did you used to go to Chinatown?
Yes, when I was small, because my aunt lived in Chinatown. My mother lived with her until she got married. And so my aunt had two girls and two boys. And so every Sunday or Saturday, my mother would take the streetcar and bring me and my brother there to Chinatown and spend the day with Auntie. And then in the evening, my father, he would maybe see patients in Chinatown, and he would go there and accompany us home. So that was the only, that when I was very young, I went there. And then later, when I could drive, I drove my father to buy medicine or groceries in Chinatown. But I never got off the car. I just stayed in the car because my father didn't think that Chinatown was a good place for a girl. But he needed me to take him there.
Was he very protective?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, very protective.
And also, since you're the oldest girl,
yes,
did that make a difference?
Yes,
uh-huh. So you were saying that your family moved from Hill Street mm-hmm. to 14th
mm-hmm. Place? 14th Place, uh-huh.
Why was it that your family moved?
Because the owner wanted the house back to tear it down to make it into a parking lot. And they never built on it for years and years and years. I think it still is a parking lot. They could make more money that way. You know how expensive parking is downtown.
No kidding.
It was sort of opposite the May Company, you know, very near there. And so it was very difficult to find a house in those days. It was after the war and...
World War One.
After World War One, there were fewer houses for rent, and also because we were Chinese. And Chinese could not buy property in America or in California then, so we couldn't buy, and to rent would be very difficult. My aunt, who lived in Chinatown with her four children and her grandson, moved in with us into that big Victorian house, maybe for about a year or so, and then we had to move. And so my mother, she was expecting her third child, then would read the paper and find out that where houses were for rent, and she and my cousin would go, and then they would be told, we've just rented it, whereas they did not rent to Chinese. And especially if they knew there were so many. There were 11 of us. And every day they would look for a house for rent. And finally they found this place on 14th Place, which was only a two-bedroom house. And we 11 people crowded in there. It was very...
For how long were you there?
And then, not long after that, the house next door was for rent, so my aunt moved there. And so it was just my father and mother and myself and a brother, and a sister was born there, so there were just the five of us. And then later on, my aunt moved to San Diego.
So how long did it take them all together to find the new house?
Oh, I don't know. I was too young then. I don't know, but they... My mother would say, oh, how she just walked and walked the streets trying to find a place.
Was that a common experience? Do you remember other people mm-hmm. having a hard time finding
yes.
a place and the stories they would tell?
Yes, sometimes, you know, if a Chinese would buy a house here, the person next door would put up her house for sale. They didn't want to live near Chinese people.
Mm-hmm. Did, as a Chinese American could you buy property if you were if the children were born in the United States?
Only under the child's name.
Did your family ever do that?
Yes, under my name, they bought. I believe they bought the farm under my name or under my cousin's name. We bought. I think the later, my father, we moved to Hill Street near Pico, and then later my father bought a house on 48th Street, and that was under my name.
48th Street is
between Main and Broadway in L.A.
What neighborhood do they call that?
L.A.?
That is the 48th Street. Is that like West Adams, or is it Exposition? Is it that far down?
It's beyond Exposition and West Adams. I guess now they call it South Central, because during the Watts riot, it was a lot of buildings were burned.
Was the place where did you still own your father still own that house then?
Pardon me.
Did your family still own the property then?
No.
No.
Then they sold it and bought a big house on Main Street near Vernon Avenue. And my father still had his practice. So he practiced, had his office downstairs, and the family lived upstairs. But at that time, I was already in China. I didn't live in that house.
Did your father's clients follow him wherever he moved?
Yes. And some, when they moved to another city, they would correspond, and they would bring medicine with them. And then when they wanted more, my parents would send it to them through the mail. They would package the herbs and send it.
When you were growing up, did you ever help out in your father's business?
Well, sometimes I watched the medicine as they boiled. Some patients would drink the medicine right there, and my father would brew it, and he would take it out on a tray and give them tea and crackers to go with the medicine. And then they would put some in a bottle to take home. And they could also brew their own when they got home. No, I just talked to the patients when they came. I'd bring my dolls out and talk with them about school and so on. I didn't help out in the business.
Before we were talking about when you were at LA High, and then you had mentioned you went to USC. Mm-hmm. What year was that?
1929, I graduated from LA High. The fall of that year, I went to USC and finished in 1933.
And what were you studying?
Sociology was my major.
And what were your ambitions and your dreams of what you wanted to do?
Well, I knew it was hard for Chinese to find work in L.A.
That was a reality?
Mm-hmm. Yes, very difficult. And so I said, well, maybe I could be a social worker and work as a social worker. And also, I was hoping that maybe if I ever go to China, I would like to study more about English grammar, so that I could teach English if I ever had a chance to go to China. And so my minor was English.
Were you always hoping to be able to go to China?
I don't know. My father always mentioned about China's going home. He always hoped to go there to retire. And so I thought, well, maybe we might go to China someday.
And when you were growing up, did your family maintain ties there through your father? Did he maintain ties with China?
Yes, mail.
Through the mail?
Mm-hmm. Yes. In those days, there was no air mail, but people from the village, the relatives, his brother, his nephews, grandnephews would write and ask for money usually and say, so-and-so is wants to get married, he wants money, and also when they had quarrels. You see, my father had there were 12 brothers. There were 3 mothers in the family, 12 brothers and 6 sisters. Mm-hmm. And so they sort of fought over the inheritance that my grandfather left. He left a lot of land, and so they had quarrels. And so they would tell about their problems or tell how hard life was and so on. And he would write letters back, and they would correspond. And also he helped different members of his family to come to America, nephews and grandnephews to come to LA. And some he put to work on the farm, and some would become cooks or waiters, bar boys in the restaurants. He'd recommend work for them there. And several worked for him, brewing herbs and helping out in the herb business. And so he helped a lot of people, his own family, to come over.
Before, when you were saying it was very hard to find work as Chinese American, what were the jobs that were available? I mean, were there certain jobs that were available and jobs that weren't available?
In teaching, there was a Caroline Chan who died a few weeks ago, 101 she was. She was the first Chinese teacher in elementary school in the public school system. It was very difficult to find work in the teaching field. And so a lot of girls didn't go to college. It was no use. They just finished high school and got married and maybe worked for their father in the store or in a restaurant. And not much opportunity to find work. And even the men. We had a friend who studied civil engineering, graduate of USC, who couldn't find a job because he was Chinese. So he worked as an auto mechanic. So very few.
And so how did it come about that you went to college? You were saying not many girls went to college.
I don't know. My father always encouraged us all to study as much as we could. And so all the members of our family are college graduates. So we all went to college.
And what experiences do you remember about attending USC? What was it like then? That was the late 20s.
Well, we had a Chinese student club. We met every month. I just studied, I think, more than anything else.
And what did the club do? How many students were in the club?
Only about 30.
And was that pretty much?
Several were from Hawaii, and very few American-born. Most of them were from China.
So then, did your family have certain expectations for you?
I remember when I was in junior high, and I asked my father, what foreign language should I take? And he said, oh, take Spanish. Maybe someday I'll open a grocery store in Mexican town, you know, so you can, maybe he was just joking. But my father didn't really expect me to help out or anything like that. Although I wanted to do something to help out, but I didn't know what kind of work I would get into.
You had mentioned before about that experience of driving your father to Chinatown, and he wanted you to wait in the car because mm-hmm. it wasn't a good place for girls.
Yes.
Were there certain kinds of traditional role of women that was a value in your family?
Well, I think women were, they stayed quiet and were good housewives. Not many women had a career in those days. Maybe some sold insurance. Or worked in the factory or clothing factory or something like that. Or they had a home business. There was one family that wove wicker chairs, repaired wicker chairs, and they did that as a family. And then some had restaurants, and their children helped in the restaurant. That's about all.
Do you remember, like, any kind of social activities when you were growing up? Were there dances or things like that?
I never went to any dances. Well, maybe a picnic or something like that, but not much.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember what some of the big events in the community were? What were the big yearly events, or if there were like any historical events?
Chinese New Year.
What did you do for that?
My father always had narcissus plants blooming. We had a big meal, and we also observed Thanksgiving and turkey, and Christmas. That's about all. And we had a lot of guests in those days, people from China. Some were scholars, and some were diplomats, and my father would entertain. We rarely went to a restaurant. We always, they always did the cooking at home. My father's hobby was cooking. He and my mother would fix up their birthdays also. They would invite people to the house for dinner.
And what kind of food did your father like to cook?
There was one seafood called sea cucumber. It was the shape of a cucumber, and it's an animal that lives in the bottom of the sea, and that's supposed to be very nutritious. And he would spend a long, long time cleaning it, and he also made shark's fins and from scratch. That took a week.
Really?
Cleaning it and getting the fins out of the, getting the skin, taking away the skin, the part that wasn't edible. And he would spend a lot of time, and then cutting up chicken and making ducks and different foods. It was his hobby.
Was it mostly Chinese food?
Always Chinese food. We didn't eat, we always had Chinese food at night, rice and Chinese food. Then we would have, would eat maybe other things in the day, or noontime.
Like what would you have for lunch?
Oh, sometimes my father made a rice gruel. Sweet potatoes, yam, cooked yam. And we always bought coffee cake. That was my father and mother's favorite coffee cake. Sweet rolls. In the morning we ate bread.
So after you finished college at USC, what did you do then?
Got married the next month.
How did you meet your husband?
Well, he was a student at Caltech. He went to University of Redlands first, and then transferred to Caltech for his civil engineering degree. Then he got his master's degree in civil engineering. at the same time that I graduated from USC. And we got acquainted because our Chinese student club would invite students from other universities. We met together and had social time, and that's how I met him. And so we got married in July and sailed for China.
What year was that?
1933.
And what were your plans to do in what were your plans for China? What were you going to do there?
Well, he was going to find work in China. So he worked in the Public Works Department of Canton as a civil engineer. But then later he worked on the railroad, surveying for railroads. And in 1937 came the war, and he joined in 1939. See, 37 to 39, well, he taught engineering for a while too, but he worked on some railroads, and then we went to the interior, West China.